But isn't it wonderful to be in a place to feel the presence of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. So good. Brother Hoffman was speaking, preaching, testifying, whatever you want to call it, a little bit ago. I just felt the Lord come in, and he was talking about everything that God is. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. And my mind went back to a few months ago. Sometimes I turn on preaching on the way to work. I got an hour drive, and that preacher on there, he started going through the Hebrew alphabet, telling what everything, the Bible says he's Alpha and Omega. That doesn't mean he's just the beginning, and then he skipped everything and he's the end. He's everything in between. And that preacher I was listening to on the way to church, he started quoting, praise God, all of that Hebrew alphabet. He said he's the Alpha, he's the Beta, praise God. And as he said it, he said he's the Alpha. I said, God, that's you. He said he's the Beta. I said, God, that's you. He said he's the Gomel. God, that's you. He's everything in between. I don't know what you came with tonight, what you need. Praise God. Sometimes we have failings. How many know he's the Father? Praise God. We've got shortcomings, but he's the Savior. Praise God. We've went off the road, but he's the Redeemer. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha to the Omega and everything in between. Get in worship with my kids tonight as they sing.
Tired of the same old thing, tradition wearing out your name. I'm tired of a man-made worship hour. I'm tired of a song with no praise. We're worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired.
See?
Him. Won't you lift your hands to heaven and worship Him a little while tonight? Praise God. Father, send the rain. Hallelujah. Open up heavens, God. Send the rain. Send the fire, God. Send the Holy Ghost and fire like we read in the book of Acts. Like you did for Elijah, God, send the fire. Praise God. Lord, blow through this house, send the wind. Praise the Lord. Your Holy Ghost and power. Praise the Lord. My son was singing and he said, we're ready. Praise God. We're ready. Anybody ready in this house tonight? Hallelujah. I didn't talk to my kids, tell them what to sing. They came up with it on their own. But I'm going to preach here in a minute on, are you ready? Hallelujah. They answered the question already. We're ready. Anybody ready tonight? Praise God. I'm ready to get in. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to magnify and glorify. I'm ready to get something from God. Amen. We're ready. Hallelujah. It's such a privilege, such an honor to be here. Just appreciate everyone and just love this church, Brother Kenneth. I can't say enough good things about him. Of course, you know, I need to. I'm at his church. Amen. I'm just kidding. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful friend. He already said we graduated high school together right here at Union Road, and just feels like home in some ways. Love everybody here. Appreciate my church, Sister Brooke coming, the Madisons, and just love them so much. Appreciate them being here. And amen. I love revival, don't you? Amen. Praise God. I love the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. I just say thank you so much for fellowship in our church the way you do. And we always want to return that fellowship. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. I'll be in Exodus chapter number 12 tonight. Exodus chapter number 12. And I trust you're going to get in and help me preach a little bit tonight. Praise God. I'll be honest with you. I need all the help I can get. I had read the flyer. I planned on coming. And I said, Brother Anthony Lester was supposed to be preaching this thing. And you're probably disappointed. But nobody wishes he was here as much as I do right now. Praise God. But we're going to go on and have revival anyway. I trust you'll help me preach. Some folks, they're like that fella who was riding in the car and he had to call for a tow, and they came and hooked him up and pulled him by that tow rope, and he was there, and they were going over some hills, you know, and they finally made it to the destination. There was one great big hill right before they made it. They made it to the destination. That tow truck driver jumped out. He said, man, I didn't think we were going to make it out of that last hill. And the guy in the car, he said, I didn't think so either. I held the brake the whole time, scared I'd roll backwards. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like that tonight. Well, you say we let the brakes off a little while tonight. We let God come down and have His way and move inside of this house. Praise God. Are you ready? Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. Looks like everybody is there. We'll start here in verse number 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That's kind of odd. Rip your whole calendar up and just start over. This is the beginning. I tell you what, there's some folks need some new beginnings tonight, don't we? Verse number 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 7, let's jump down a few verses. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw nor sodden, all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with his pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. I want to pay close attention to verse number 11 here. And thus shall ye eat it. Here's how you're going to eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall come to be for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. One more verse, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Amen. You can be seated if you like. Praise God. Amen. I love that verse number 2 right out of the gate. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Praise God. How many know God is a God of new beginnings? Hallelujah. He created a new month and a new year, a fresh start, a brand new run at life. Hallelujah. A brand new beginning. Now, I want you to picture yourself tonight. If you were there, praise God, I promise you I'm going to trip over a monitor here tonight. Hallelujah. It'll be a service to remember one way or another. Praise God. This is a place of new beginnings. Imagine if God spoke to you and said, take your calendar. I don't care what's on it. I don't care what you have planned. Rip it up, and we're going to start over right now. How many know that's what revival is, isn't it? It's a new, fresh start. Everything that's happened before tonight, it doesn't matter. It matters from this night forward. What are you going to make out of your life from right here? What decisions are going to be made in this altar tonight and say, I'm going to start over? Is there anybody like me tonight say, I could do a little bit better? I could dig a little bit deeper. I could pray a little longer. I could read a little more. I could dedicate and consecrate my life to God more than I am right now. What do you say? We make a commitment to God. I'm going to make a fresh start. I'm going to start over. We read in verse number 3, take to them every man a lamb. Take to them every man a lamb. Here's how you're going to start your year. You're going to get a lamb. Praise God. We know what that lamb represents, don't we? It's Jesus Christ. Here's how we're going to start that new year. I'm going to start it with the Lamb of God. We're going to find out here in a minute. That lamb's going to shed some blood. And everything in the past is going to be gone and forgotten and finished. Hallelujah. There's a couple passages that I just love in the Word of God. The sea of forgetfulness. You ever thought about that? Paint that picture in your mind. There's a sea. When it plunges in there, it'll never be drawn back again. Hallelujah. Brother Thomas, the previous pastor at our church for 53 years, he would read that verse, and he said, in the end, they got up and put a stake in the ground with a message that said, no fishing. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. We need the lamb, don't we? Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. This is speaking of salvation. They're going to take that blood and they're going to daub it, praise God, on both side posts. And I read some commentaries. It said they'd start at the top and they wouldn't just paint it like we do, you know. They'd put it on there thick and then they'd go to the other side and put it on. And put it over the top, and that blood would run down. Now, here's the picture. They were outside putting this on the house, and then they had to walk through it. My church sent me to Israel a couple years ago, and I got to see some of those houses. Our entrances are 36 inches. That's standard code here in America. But over in Israel, they were tiny little inches. They had to dig that thing out. It wasn't very big. And I got to thinking, they put that fresh blood on there. There's no way to get in that house without getting that blood on me. Praise God. You squeeze through there, and that fresh blood that's been applied, hallelujah, it's above me. It's on the doorpost. It's on me. Praise God. No wonder when that lamb flew over, he said, I don't see man. I see blood. Hallelujah. Thank God he didn't see me and all my wickedness and all my sin. But you know what he saw on me? The blood that was applied above me. Praise God. During the American Civil War, praise God. You know, the blood, it's from the Lamb. Hallelujah. And that Lamb is a representation in the Old Testament of the Lamb of God that came in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, He's all about the Son. Jesus. During the American Civil War, there was a young soldier in the Union Army, and he lost his brother, and he lost his father at the war, a battle of Gettysburg, and he had nobody else to take care of his mom and his sister back home. He was the only sibling left, and he got an idea. He said, I'm going to go up to D.C. And talk to President Lincoln. I got to find him and see if he'll give me an excuse, if he'll give me a way out so I can go home and take care of the farm. They'll never make it on their own. So he made the trip, traveled all the way to Washington, D.C., and he made it to the gate. He could see the house, the yard there, and made it to the gate, and he started to go in, and a guard stopped him right where he was at. He said, sir, you can't come in. He said, I have to go in. I've got to see the president. My family depends on it. He said, sir, I don't care what your problem is. The president is busy. He's got other things to do. You can't get in and see him. And this guy was so distraught. He went and sat there on the ground, a bench, and he was worried and worried. The story goes he waited for 3 solid days. He would come back day after day and got the same answer over and over. Go home. You can't come in. You can't see the president. On that 3rd day, he was sitting there. Little boy came up and started talking to him. He was still in his fatigues, you know. And he asked him, he said, soldier, what are you doing? And you know, the guy had sat there for 72 hours. He'd even talked to a 10-year-old, if that's what he had to do. And he started telling all of his problems. This little 10-year-old, he said, sir, I think I can help you. And the guy, you know, he said, well, I've tried everything else. All right. Little boy grabbed his fingers and started walking. And that guard just stepped back. And he walked right on through. And that guy was kind of surprised, you know. That soldier just kept right on walking. He walked right into the front doors of the White House. Dignitaries and generals. Walks right by him. Goes up the stairs. Goes, finds the Oval Office. Doesn't knock. Doesn't ask permission to come in. Kicks the door open and walks in. President Abraham Lincoln looks down and says, Tad, what are you doing, buddy? Who's your friend? Hallelujah. And he said, Dad, he needs to talk to you. And he gave him his story, told him everything. And right there at that place, praise God, he got excused to go home and take care of it. How did it all happen? It happened through the Son. Amen. That was President Lincoln's little boy. I want to tell you, if anything happens here tonight, it's not happening through the preaching. As wonderful as the singing, well, it ain't coming through the singing. It's coming through the Son. Hallelujah. Well, you say for a little while tonight, we get the blood of the Son and say, put it over top of me. Saturate me in it. Hallelujah. I need the Son. Yes. The Israelites were saved that night by the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you, we can be saved this night by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. Oh, I love that. They shall eat the flesh in that night. I told you already they had to go through the door and get the blood on them. The flesh, the Lamb, was on them. But that's not enough, friend. Praise God. I'm not knocking anybody, but I've been around some folks that's got it on the outside, but I wonder if it's on the inside. Come on now. Hallelujah. But God didn't stop there. Put the blood on the lintel. Go inside and eat the Lamb. What's that mean? That means I take the Lamb and I put it inside of me. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, that's what we need for revival. We need the Lamb on the outside, but I need Him on the inside. Praise God. And they went in, the Bible says, and they got just enough. If you had too much, get your neighbor involved. Hallelujah. But that goes 2 ways. I got enough, but it's got enough. Praise God. I got enough to fill me for that night, but that means that blood, that Lamb, is enough to take care of me. Praise God. All my sin, all my unrighteousness, all my failings, all my anxieties, all my problems, all the
mountains I've got. It's enough. Hallelujah. I came to tell you tonight, he is enough. Give it to him. Open up a little while. God, come on down. Move me. Touch me. Take whatever it is I'm fighting with.
Amen.
Lord, you are enough. Praise God. You know what we need to do tonight? Put the lamb on the inside of us. Praise God. Anybody remember Sister Cunningham? Old Sister Cunningham. I'm not making fun, but she was old when I was born. I remember, hallelujah, we grew up at the highway, and just a little boy, she'd come in. Praise God. And I lived on, she lived on. Praise God. Brother Cunningham, Richard Cunningham's mom, Sister Kendrick, maybe you remember her a little better. It was her mama. She went to the highway for years and years. I grew up, she was one of the elder mothers in the church, and she was there, and I remember her all through my childhood, praying woman, never missed a service, loved the Lord. And I got a little older, became an RN, got a job there at a local nursing home. I already asked the family if I can tell this. Praise God. And so got a job there at the nursing home, and it just so happened Sister Cunningham was there. She was up in years. Again, I'm not making light, but she had lost a lot of her faculties. Memory was long gone, but there was enough of God in there, Brother Kenneth. She would say things over and over and over. She'd say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. I'm a pastor, and I try to be spiritual, but after a while, that gets on your nerves. Hallelujah. Come on now. It was all day, 24 hours, from the time she woke up, I promise you, hallelujah, to the time she went to bed. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Sister Cunningham, come on, praise God. And there was one day, there was another gentleman inside that same nursing home. He had been a sailor, and you could just look at him. He had lived a rough, hard life, all kinds of things over his body. He had that hook, the anchor, you know, on his shoulder, and he cursed. I promise you, he had lost his faculties. He cursed everything. He cursed the carpet, the chair, cursed from the time he woke up to the time he went to bed. Well, there was a day I had to get them both ready for lunch. I went and found them there in the nursing home, and I took her first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, Sister Cunningham. And I put her at her table, got her food for her, and then I went and picked up the sailor. I can't repeat what he said, Brother Hoffman. Praise God. He was cursing everything and everybody, and I wonder where I'm going to put him. And I got an idea. Hallelujah. Sister Cunningham, you got a new friend. And I put him right beside him. Hallelujah. And they were off. He was cursing and she was thanking Jesus. And I'll never forget what happened. Hallelujah. I went to get some other people ready. I was going about 15, 20 minutes tops. And by the time I came back, there was a sailor saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I about shouted in a nursing home because I know God can put something so deep inside of me. I can eat the lamb. I can put it in. It can be so deep inside. When I lose my mind, when my memory's gone, I've still got Jesus. I've still got God. I'll tell you, church, don't just get the blood on the outside, but put him down on the inside. He'll make a difference in your life. He'll change you. He'll change your direction. He'll change everything about you. Hallelujah. It's not enough to be skin deep. I gotta have him down deep. Praise God. Put him on the doorpost. Walk through. Get the blood on you. But when you get inside, you put Jesus inside of you. Praise God. I pray at Spawning Road we have a revival that Jesus gets on the inside. Hallelujah. God, touch us on the outside. But oh, move on the inside. Praise God. Verse 9, roast with fire. His head with his legs. Cook it whole. Cook it quickly. Fast. Speed it up. Praise God. Here's verse number 11. I hope I don't preach too long tonight. I'm going to try not to.
This is really where I wanted to get to. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I realize this is Israel getting ready to get out of Egypt land. But you know, sometimes the Bible says things metaphorically and it takes place again later. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. I didn't come to split hairs on doctrine with you tonight. Amen. But we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Praise God. I say, eat it in haste. You be ready. Hallelujah. Oh, get ready. Praise God. And here's how you eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it. Don't relax. Don't get comfortable. Eat it in haste. Praise God. Brother Kroger, what does all of that mean? And here's how you should eat it. With your loins girded. In that day, they would wear an overcoat, and it was long. It would drag the ground. And the reason was because they lived in a desert atmosphere. Wind would blow, sand would go, and you can get sand. Anybody ever baled hay? You know what I'm talking about. That hay gets everywhere. I'm from the country. Praise God. You'll have to forgive me. But that sand, it would get in your shirt. It would get in places it didn't belong. And so they put that overcoat on. So when the sand hit them, it would just fall to the ground. And several places in the Bible you read, gird up your loins. What's that talking about? Well, if you're a man, you can't run with a leather. They didn't have nice 100% cotton. You couldn't run with a big leather overcoat hitting your knees every time. So they would gird up their loins. They had pants on underneath and they'd roll them up. And like a man tucks in a shirt, he would tuck that overcoat down. Praise God. And the point is, he was getting ready to be active. He was getting ready to run. He was getting ready to go somebody. He was getting ready to take care of the cattle. You don't take care of the cattle when you're inside the house. You most likely take the coat off and leave it by the door and get comfortable. But here's God's instructions. We're getting ready to eat the evening meal. We're getting ready to have dinner. Put your coat on. And don't just put the coat on. Gird it up. Why would I do that? Because you're getting ready to go somewhere. You're getting ready to leave. I want to tell you, folks, we're in 2025. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, you ought to have your loins. We're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to go somewhere. I'm not going to be left here. Hallelujah. Let the trumpet sound. Break the eastern sky. My loins are girded. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. And ye shall eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. Anybody ever seen how Middle Eastern folks, I'm not making fun, I'm just giving you education. You ever seen how Middle Eastern folks eat? Usually there's a big carpet, family-style food, everything. And they sit down, and they lean over, and then they eat. Well, I'm not a very flexible guy. You can probably see that by looking at me. Hallelujah. Mom's laughing. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but I ain't eating with the side 11 shoe sitting by my dinner plate. Praise God. They always took their shoes off by the door. Praise God. Besides, their feet were dirty. You don't walk through the house. Hallelujah. And so they would go and sit down and begin to eat comfortably. No overcoat, no shoes, no staff. Praise God. But this time it's a little bit different. Put your coat on, gird your loins, and you're going to eat with your shoes on. Praise God. Why am I do that? Because in a moment's notice, Moses is going to come down from Pharaoh and he's going to say, pack up. We got to go. I'll tell you, in a moment's notice, hallelujah, Jesus is going to break the eastern sky and we got to pack up and get out. I came to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? My kids were singing, we're ready. Hallelujah. I pray it's true tonight. I want to be ready to go. I want to be ready to hit that eastern sky and go home with my Jesus. Hallelujah. New convert came on Sunday morning.
gave his heart to God. The church was so excited. We're Pentecostal. We know how it goes. You let a sinner hit the altar. We rejoice. We magnify. And we glorify. The Bible says nothing greater than one comes home. Praise God. And they were Pentecostal. And they got to rejoicing. And they broke out and did what Pentecostals do. One young man even took a lap around the church. Some ladies began to shout and magnify and glorify God. That new convert, he got saved, got up and he sat there and he watched in awe. He had never seen anything like it. Hallelujah. But he felt something in there and he said, I want that. Praise God. He went home that day all day long, had a desire. Praise God. And so that night he came back, three-piece suit, Brother Kenneth, cleaned up quick, had a tie on, dress shirt, to the hilt. And he came up to the pastor and the pastor said, wow, buddy, you look great. And started looking him over, but he noticed something. Three-piece suit, nice hair, cleaned up, but he had gym shoes on. And he said, buddy, you look great. He said, but what's up with the shoes? They don't fit. They don't match. Praise God. And I love what that new convert said. He said, this morning I watched you, but tonight you're going to watch me. Praise God. Sister Trisha, if you can't clap, get your shoes on and start magnifying God. Start glorifying him. Hallelujah. Well, you say, we gird up our loins and we get our shoes on and say, God, I'm ready for the call. I'm ready for the trump. I'm ready to roll whenever you come.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need to get ready. Praise God. Your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. When you've got that staff in your hand, you're working. You're pushing cattle. Praise God. Why in the world? Hallelujah. That staff was for walking. Praise God. Brother Robertson in our church, he got me a staff the other day. I guess I'm getting old. Hallelujah. I was still trying to hang on to youth, Brother Kenneth, but we're right there. Hallelujah. I was thankful for the gift, but it was a blow to my ego. Hallelujah. What do you do with a staff? You walk with it. Praise God. You got to go. When you eat dinner tonight, gird up your loins, put your shoes on, and put the staff inside of your hand. Why would I do that? Because I'm getting ready to go. Hallelujah. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just here for a little while. But here in a bit, the trump's going to sound, and I'm going home.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I was pastoring years ago. I didn't plan to tell this. Pastoring years ago, one of my members got sick. Ended up in the ICU. I went to the local hospital, visited him, held his hand, prayed with him. He said, I just want to go home. Hallelujah. I said, sir, just hang on. We'll get you back home with your family. He said, I just want to go home. He started stabilizing, getting better. They moved him to a different department, a medical unit, not quite as serious. And he told me again, I just want to go home. Hallelujah. He kept getting better. Vital signs stabilized. The day came. Nurse came in with the discharge paper, sent him to the house. Hallelujah. I went and visited him at home, and I said, praise the Lord, you made it, you got better. He said, I just want to go home. Praise God. I didn't understand what he was saying from the beginning. You know what he was saying? This is not my home. I got my staff in my hand, and I'm ready to go. I just want to go home. Anybody share that sentiment tonight? Hallelujah. Let the pinnacle political arena fight. Let the world have a rage against her. I just want to go home. I just want to get out. I want to spend time with my Father. I want to go with my Savior.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh, I just want to go home.
Amen.
It's the Lord's Passover. Amen. Praise God. God said, this isn't your Passover. It's mine. I'm giving it to you. You know what God's giving us? A readiness to go. It was His blood that He put there. He's giving it to you. Praise God. I came to ask you a very serious question. Are you ready? It's all right there. I feel like we're the Israelites tonight, standing on the outside of that door. He gives us that lamb, gives us the blood. Here's your instructions. Are you going to do it? I feel like closing. I got a whole half a message I could preach. Become the music if you don't mind. You know, sometimes we get to this place, devil starts playing with our mind. Lord, I've heard that message 100 times. Brother Vaughn, no doubt, he preached that message. The Lord's coming, and here we are. Brother Hurst probably preached that message 100 times. The Lord's coming. I don't know if I believe that anymore, preacher. Brother Kenneth is here. He's preaching that message. The Lord's coming. Get ready. We get to the place, you kind of start doubting it. Is that true? I want to look at that whole picture for just a moment. Moses goes up and he talks to Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go. Let my people go." God sends plagues. He first sends plague number one, turns the water into blood. Those people are down there with anticipation. Moses, do we get to go? Are we leaving? Do we get out? I don't know. Let's wait and see. And Pharaoh hardens his heart and says, "No, you're not going anywhere." Praise God. Moses says, "Let's try again." He goes up, talks to Pharaoh. Plague number two. He said, "Frogs everywhere. They're coming out their ears. Frogs all over the place." And the people wait with anticipation. Are we free? Do we get to go? Pharaoh hardens his heart. Time after time after time, plague after plague, lice come, flies come, death of livestock, herds laying in the field dead, boils, hail, fire coming down. Time after time, they're disappointed. It's not our day. I know we've grown disappointed at times. I expected to be gone by now. Hallelujah. But every time a preacher's preaching, they're going up saying, "Is it time?" No, not yet. How sad would it be to be an Israelite to go through 9 of those plagues? Moses, I don't believe you this time. It's not going to happen. Pharaoh's going to keep hardening his heart. We're never getting out of here. Anybody like that tonight? I came to give you a message again. I don't know if we're on the first plague or the 9th. Hallelujah. But are you ready? Because one of those times when Moses comes down from Pharaoh, he's going to say, "Pack your bags. We're out." And only the people whose loins are girded, only the people whose shoes are on their feet, and the staff is in their hand, are going to be ready to go. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, friend, don't put your staff down because you're getting tired. Hallelujah. Don't slip your shoes off by the door. Hallelujah. Because it's getting too hard. I'll tell you, get ready. I know we've been hearing it and it's been preached since the 70s and 80s, but I came to remind you, he is coming. The cloud will break. The eastern sky will open and the trump's going to sound. And all you shall rise. Hallelujah. He's going to be ready. Anybody tonight say, "We're ready. We're ready. I want to go." Hallelujah. But we always come to that problem. Hallelujah. We shout and glorify and magnify, "I want to go." But came to ask very seriously, are your shoes on your feet? You know what I'm saying. Are they laced up tight? Praise God. How many times do I come home to my kids, and I'm not making fun of them, I love them with all my heart. "Where's your shoes, Haddon?" I got the left one. Praise God. Well, where's the right one at? Hallelujah. And I can laugh at my little fella, but how many times are we the same way? I'm half in. I'm kind of there. I'm showing up. I ain't raised my hands in 10 weeks. I'm really, praise the Lord. God checked me to get out and worship in the aisle, but I was worried about what they'd all think, so I didn't do that. Hallelujah. I came to ask you, are your shoes on? Praise God. Is your overcoat right? Are your loins Pastor, are you ready to walk? Is the staff in your hand? Praise God. You know what some of us need to do? We need to walk through the door with the blood again. And we need to take another taste and put him on the inside. Because when they did all of that, they were ready. Praise God. Well, you say tonight, I want to be ready. I'm going. When the sky breaks, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. We need to be ready. Nothing more serious than that. You've seen the bumper sticker. He with the most toys wins. My heart breaks every time I read it, because he who is ready wins. Hallelujah. I want to go. Praise God. I'm going to close with a poem. There's a man in yonder glory I have loved for many years. He has cleared my guilty conscience and has banished all my fears. He is coming in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and no time will be allotted for you to utter one goodbye. No time to kiss the husband or embrace the loving wife if they are but united in the bonds of holy life. Are you ready? Christian, ready for shout and trump and voice? Will his coming make you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you walking, talking with him daily, taking him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath would waft you there? Hallelujah. As we get ready to come to this altar, I want one thing to be on your mind. Am I ready? Praise God. David said in the Psalms, search me, oh Lord. King David, before he was in sin, before temptation, when he was pure and he was a man after God's own heart, he looked up to heaven and said, am I ready? Hallelujah. Search me, oh God. Oh, how many would it benefit us here tonight to say, God, I need to take inventory. I want to know that I know that I know I'm ready to go. Hallelujah.
Open up this altar tonight. I didn't come to point anybody out or embarrass anyone. If you're here in this congregation and you know there's some things, let's just put it like that. There's some things, some places, some things that come up in your mind immediately. That's not right. That's not where it should be. Maybe there's some things that aren't sin, discouragements, battles, fears, and you know it's there. Hallelujah. Things that are holding you back from where you need to get with God. Pray by the time we leave this place, you can sing with my babies and say, we're ready. We're ready. Hallelujah. There's nothing more sweeter than this earth than a Christian that can raise his hands to a Savior and say, Father, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the perfect example. He came down. He died on a cross, but then he resurrected. And then they watched the multitude as he ascended. What did we do? We were born into this earth. We die, but as Christians, we resurrect just like our Father did. And there's coming a day we go up just like he did. What an example to follow. I came to ask you, are you ready? Amen. Are we still in that death place and we haven't resurrected? You can. It's yours if you want it. Praise God. If I can make the decision for you, I'd already be up in this altar, but I can't. One of the hardest parts of being a pastor, loving them, drawing them, talking to them, investing in them, but I just can't make them make the break. It's so hard. And I came tonight to ask you, will you please make a decision in your life? I want to be ready. I feel the Lord in this place. I'm begging you. I want to be ready. There's nothing more important in your life from the birth to the day they put you in the grave than making everything right with him. Well, you say you make it right tonight. Well, you say you make a break for an altar. Say, God, make me ready. Go ahead, start singing, children. This is the altar call. Hallelujah. So get up from where you're at. Say, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman. I'm going to go talk to God. I'm going to make sure everything's ready. My calling and election, it will be sure. It will be fastened. Nothing can move it. Nothing can break it. Is your calling and election sure? Come on tonight as they sing. Let's cry out to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be ready.
Come on, let's pray tonight. Oh, God, touch us in this house.
Send the wind. Send the Holy Ghost stand by. Send the rain. Send the fire. Send the wind. Send the Holy Ghost.
Are you ready? It's time to get ready. Praise God. This thing is getting ready to pull out. Eastern sky is going to break. The trump's going to sound. It's time to get ready. Hallelujah. Search me, oh God, if there be anything. God, take care of it. God, point it. Deal with it. Lord, I want to be ready to go.
I'm tired of a song with no praise, where worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired. Send the rain. Send the fire. We're ready for revival, Lord. We're ready to walk. I'm tired of a song with no praise. We're worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired.